Good worship, man. That was awesome. Thank you so much for participating and being part of it and encouraging our team. What a great job they do. And so we're definitely blessed to have them. But again, my name is Ron. I'm a lead pastor here. It's so good to have you here on this June Sunday. We've got a lot of things coming up, a lot of cool things to be part of, and you've heard some of the announcements, so just make sure that you're keeping in touch with us, that you're keeping up with what's going on so that you can be a part, that you can feel part of the community and everything that we talked about last week, that's who you are and you're able to be a part of it. This week we're going to wrap up our series titled, Now What? And it's been kind of interesting to look through this series. It really comes out of the fact that when you look at the church itself, the church started with a bunch of people asking, now what? Peter preaches a message and people hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he came, lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that he was buried on the third day. He was raised again by the power and love of God, so that we could not only be forgiven, but we could be set free for eternity. And so they hear this message, and these guys go, now what? Now what do we do? We understand we want part of this. We want this to be our life. What do we do? And so it all began by those 3,000 the Bible tells us about saying, now what? Now what do we do? And so that's what the church should always be. We establish the fact the church should always be people following Jesus, asking the question, now what? Now what do we do? People responding to the good news of Jesus should be encouraged to ask, now what? And we should be providing an opportunity for them to find out what's next. What now what? Now what do we do? We started looking at the church in this series, just finding out that's where its beginnings come from. And then how do we take that and apply it to us as a church? How do we apply it to who we are and who we're supposed to be and everything else? But we realize that all that really begins with who we are as individuals. The church isn't the building. The church isn't the location. The church is us. It's the people. So if we want the church to be something, then that means that we have to be something, because it all flows out of us doing what the church is supposed to do every day in our lives. We don't just take the church, and it doesn't just exist in these block walls. It exists wherever we go, because that's who we are. We're the church. And so that's where we began, the response to this now what question. And every week we've just been building on that, because we know that we've established that you are a community church exists to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news. That's why we're here. So that's one of those statements that we have to hear it over and over and over again, because that is who we are. That's what God's put us here to do, to be a place where people can learn to love God with everything that they have. Not just on Sunday, not just to show up and this be their love. No, it's loving God with everything that we've got. And that's, we spent week two talking about that. Developing the love for God, giving Him everything that we have and are, and allowing Him to use that to be able to grow the kingdom. It's helping people develop that love for God. It's developing a love for others. That means we don't just live in our community, but that we are part of our community. Those are two different things. You can live somewhere and never be a part of it. You know, you can move in somewhere and never meet your neighbors. You can never, you know, meet anybody outside of just what you have to do. But we need to be able to be, as believers and as the church, we need to be meeting everybody we can. We need to be loving others by being a part of their lives and a part of what's going on with them. That's critical to us being able to meet that second commandment that Christ gave us, to love others as ourselves. We've got to be able to not just sit in a chair for an hour on Sunday to allow that to be part of who we are and expect that to really change our community. It just never will. So we've got to be able to do more than that, to get outside of it. And the gospel itself calls us to do that. It's a response that we should have to the good news of Jesus, that we should want to be able to be part of what he's doing. And so that's the piece of that. And then the love for sharing the good news is what we're going to spend time on today. But it's more than just hearing it and applying it to ourselves. It's taking it and allowing other people to hear it and be changed by it as well. There's more to the gospel than just us. It's more than just us hearing it and allowing us to be different. It's about sharing it with every person we get a chance to, so they have an opportunity to be changed as well. We spent time on each of those, and we've just kind of built our way up to today. We're gonna talk about that sharing. And we're going to spend time just finding out why is it and what is it? How do we do it? What's it look like for us? Why in the very beginning, why should we do it at all? If you remember, we've been in the book of Acts and looking at the early church and kind of digging through there. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. And chapter 1 and 2, I kind of give you a quick synopsis and catch you up. Jesus has been crucified, paid the price for our sins. He's been taken off the cross, buried. He's been raised again. He's now has spent time with his disciples, and now he ascends back to heaven. And so now the disciples are left there to take that and to begin to what do we do? Jesus was here. He did this. Now what do we do? Where do we go from here? And so we find that there's the beginning of the church. Peter preaches a message that changes everything, and the church begins. And so now the Holy Spirit is there and empowering the church and allowing it to be strengthened and allowing it to grow. And people are coming and they're hearing this message and they're being changed by it. In week one, we looked at a significant event that happened. We looked at that day of Pentecost where Peter preaches, and all those 3,000 people accept it and are changed by it and it becomes the church. And it begins to then grow. And so we look at that. So we find out that isn't some surprise. The day of Pentecost, the message that Peter preached, the change that happened and the growth that happened wasn't something that just happened by chance. If you go back into the book of Matthew chapter 16, you find out that this is exactly what Jesus said would happen. That this moment was the beginning of what Jesus already said would be there. Peter was used greatly in the building of Christ's church. We find that he began to share, and we begin to see that though Peter was a lot like us that makes mistakes and falls, that Jesus had already said that, listen, I'm going to establish something through you, and I'm going to use you greatly. And I think it's such a great picture for you and I to understand that even though we may not get it all right, we may make mistakes and we may fall and everything else, that God can still use us. It's such an encouraging thing to see that God would take somebody who made the mistakes that Peter made and did the things that he did and yet use him to then begin something so amazing and so profound. So in the book of Matthew chapter 16, here's what Jesus says, and here's how he lays it out. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? That's an important question. If we want to know, and if we want to look at what really ignites everything in us, the answer to that question for each of us is critical. We've got to come to the place where we say, well, who is Jesus to me? Who is he? Who do I say he is? And until we understand that question, until we answer it for ourselves, we kind of are stuck. We can't really move forward. And so Jesus asked that. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say that you are Peter, which means rock. Jesus changed Simon Peter's name right there. He changes it from Simon to Peter. He makes it very clear that now you are Peter. Sometimes God's got to do something drastic in our lives to get us to where he can use us the way that he wants to use us. Sometimes we wonder why we go through some things, and I just got to tell you that sometimes it's just God allowing things to happen to us to get our attention so that he can put us where he wants us and make us who it is that he wants us to be. But he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Those are some pretty strong words and pretty bold predictions. Hey, Peter, I'm going to use you to establish my church. I'm going to use you for something that's going to change the world. You're the rock. If you're a WWE fan, sorry, but there's the original, right? I just wonder if he could raise his eyebrow, but I don't know. I can't do it. But Peter was the original rock. He was the rock that Jesus established the church with. He was where it was going to begin. He was going to be the one that it was all going to come out of. And so Peter then preaches this message on the day of Pentecost, and all those lives were changed. Jesus' words come to be very clear. And here we are 2,000 years later. The enemy still tries to take the church down, does everything he can to keep the church from being what Christ said it would be, but here we are. The church is still strong. We hear all the things about how the church is in decline and all that. Listen, the church itself, when we look at the organization of it, may be suffering, but let me just tell you, the church it belongs to Christ. It's never going to be like that. It's never going to decline as long as the power of the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Here's the church. So what I want us to do today is, I don't want to focus on Peter's message in Acts, but I want to look at what compelled him to preach it. You see, that's what we've all got to come to, is what is it that makes the message so important? What compelled him to say what he said that allowed those people to recognize their need for Christ and be changed by it? Have you ever had something happen to you that you just couldn't wait to tell somebody else? I mean, think about the things that have happened in your life that man, you just couldn't wait to tell who it is. For some of us, we got engaged, and we just couldn't wait to tell everybody about it. I remember when I got engaged to my wife, Kelly, it was kind of like, you know, I couldn't wait to tell everybody. I was telling people in the grocery store I didn't even know. You know, somehow a conversation would go from Frosted Flakes to, hey, I'm getting married. You know, it just happened. I remember when I found out that we were expecting our first child. You know, when poor little Allie was coming along, and we found out, and you know how Kelly told me, we were all leaving a family vacation at the beach, and we were all gathered up to pray as we left, and she announced it to the whole group. That's how I found out, and so I spent like the next 4 hours driving home fuming over this thing. Because that's how I found out. But you know what happened? I realized, but I think I was more shocked than anything. I think that's just how it came out of me. But then when I got home, I realized I'm gonna be a daddy. And then I couldn't stop telling people about the fact that we were expecting. It was as if I was carrying the child myself. You know, it was exciting that now this gift was coming, and here we are, you know. Now she's going to high school, and, you know, I'm not so sure about the decision. But anyway, no. I'm just picking on her. She knows. I am blessed by her. But those moments when you have something happen in your life and you just can't wait to tell everybody about it, listen, that's where we find ourselves here with the gospel. All of us have had those moments in our lives. And here's Peter. He has a moment where something has happened in his life that he can't wait to tell all of these people about. We have a story to tell. Maybe you didn't marry the man of your dreams, you know. He's got stinky feet and all that good stuff. You know, he didn't turn out to be the perfect one after all, but he is the perfect one for you. And maybe you don't have kids. But you have something that's happened in your life that compels you to tell other people about it, to tell a story. And in the book of John, we see in the first chapter that we meet this guy named John the Baptist who had this one message that he just couldn't wait to tell everybody. And it was repent. Repent because Jesus is coming. Repent. The Lamb of God is coming. Repent because there's somebody greater than me that's going to change the world that's coming. And he couldn't wait. He couldn't help but to tell this message about what was going on. And he taught about that one that would come. And this message that he had was like us with the good news that we had. He had this good news in him. And in John chapter 1, verse 36, here's how the account goes. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them follow him, like, "What do you want?" You know, he kind of looks back, like, "What are you guys doing here?" And they say, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" They wanted to go hang out with Jesus, and he said, "Come and see. Come with me." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Underline that, highlight that, circle that in your Bible. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah." Then verse 42, you just got to get this. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. It's key. One of the most profound scriptures, I think, of the New Testament. It rings out. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Can you see Andrew's response here to meeting Jesus? It sounds a lot like when it really hit me that I was expecting a baby, right? That we were going to have a baby. Like, I got so excited about that, and I wanted to tell everybody. You know, when Kelly and I got engaged, I wanted to tell everybody. And so here's Simon, or here's Andrew, and something has happened profound in his life, and he can't wait to go tell somebody about it. He's been around John the Baptist. He's heard that message proclaimed and all that, but now he's met the one that he's been hearing so much about. And it begins to change him. See, here's Peter. Peter was out doing his thing, and Andrew comes to him and says, "Listen, we found the one we've been hearing about. We found the one we've been waiting on. We found the one who can change our lives. We found the one that we've been, you know, waiting on and anticipating. He's here." I love the fact that it says, then Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus. Listen, we've got to understand that we all have an opportunity, and really, it's more than just an opportunity. It's an obligation to bring people to Jesus. If we're as excited about what he's done in our lives as Andrew was, then we have this obligation to come and show him to the world. It's what we're called to do. I mean, Andrew had this overwhelming sense, "Man, listen, Pete, you got to come meet this guy." And I think about so many of us that have been accepted Christ and been saved and claimed that in our lives. And I'm thinking, how many people have heard the gospel, been changed by it, but never told anybody? Never. And so the question really comes down to it is, if you've been changed by it, how in the world could you never tell anybody about it? How could it do something to you in your life that would change you like the gospel is meant to change us, but yet we never tell anybody about it? I think Andrew was completely changed that day. He didn't have a theology course. He didn't have a Bible study. He didn't have any of that stuff. He just had half a day with Jesus, and he went and told everybody that he could. He brought people to Jesus. Don't get me wrong, it's great to have studies. It's great to grow in your faith. It's great to do that. We want you to do that. Encourage you to do that. But the truth of it is that we don't need that. All we need to be able to do is tell people what God's done in our lives. We just need to be able to know and to come and share. Why does Andrew want Peter to hear it? Because he knew Peter needed to hear it. Just like we all need to hear it. Everybody needs the gospel. We're all, as the Bible says, we're all separated from him by sin. It's the thing, it's there. We can't get around that. There's no one perfect, no, not one, right? The Bible says Jesus was the only one that was perfect. He lived here, but he had to be to be able to be the sacrifice. So we all need a Savior. And so we all need someone willing to tell us about it. If Jesus has truly changed your life, you have a story to tell that no one else can tell. If you've been changed by the gospel, by the good news, then nobody else can tell your story. I can stand up here and tell story after story after story about just looking around the room of lives that have been changed. But listen, the power will never be in me telling it. It'll always be in you telling your story of how you were changed. I can be as compelling as I can and try as hard as I can, but I could never tell your story like you could, and you couldn't tell mine like I can. It's our story. And we have it, and it's an important thing to be able to share with people. The good news is not just that of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but the good news is what Jesus is doing today and continue to do. We need to be able to share that and be able to help people to understand it. People often call me and say, "Ron, could you come and share with my neighbor? Could you come and tell my neighbor about Jesus?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I can do that, and I will do that. But let me just tell you that I could never share with your neighbor like you could share with your neighbor. You have the relationship, I don't." So the closer that we are to the person sharing, the more real the story becomes and the more power that it carries. My story is not nearly as potent to your neighbor as yours is, because they know your story and they know you. They aren't nearly as compelled by the fact that I want them to be in eternity with me as they would be as if you were to share that you wanted them in eternity with you. It's the way that we work. It's the way that we're wired. We're built on relationships. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that relationships are so vital to us. And being able to share the good news of Jesus comes out of those relationships. It comes out of us establishing them and then allowing God to use them to help other people see what He wants them to see. It's a trust. It's where people build that off of and then take it and allow it to sink in and to grow. But you know what happens we're way more likely to share with our friends and our neighbors a good movie or a good meal, or you know, the fact that we bought a $10 dress on sale for $10. Yeah, because if they sell it for $10, let me just tell you, it's a $10 dress, okay? Just whatever, wherever it started is doesn't matter. It's where they sell it, right? So, but we're way more likely to tell somebody about a bargain or good food or something else than we are about what God's done in our lives. Why is that? If we've really been changed by the Creator of the universe, if we know that our sins have been forgiven and that we've been set free from the bondage of that and that we can spend eternity in God's presence, if that's really happened to us, how in the world can we not tell somebody? I mean, it's got to become part of us. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, there are plenty of times where I don't share the gospel like I should. I'll confess that. Sometimes I hear the voices, right? Don't worry, I don't really hear voices, okay? But I hear the things in the background that say, don't tell them, they don't want to hear it. Don't tell them because they don't want a part of that. Don't tell them because they think they've got it all together already. You don't need to do that. Don't forget you're here for something for you. Don't waste your time with something other than what you came here for. I mean, it happens to all of us, but the truth is that we've got to be able to hear the greater voice that calls us to be able to help people understand the gospel and good news for themselves. There are people literally, and God has been making me more and more aware of this. I don't know how I could get more aware, but it just does, that literally people are dying every day around me and they're going to hell. And I'd love to dress that up, and I know sometimes that word in church is not one that people want to hear, but that's a reality, that there is a heaven and a hell, and they're both as real as the seats you're sitting in. And we will spend eternity in one or the other, and it's up to us where we go. We have a choice. We can decide to accept what Jesus did for us and know that we're forgiven and set free and spend eternity with God, or we can reject it and forget it and neglect it and do our own thing, and we can certainly spend forever separated from Him in hell. It's up to us. But it's also up to our friends and our neighbors whether they accept it or reject it. They have to be able to make a decision for themselves, and your story and my story are powerful pieces that God can use to help people see that truth. Your story, here's the truth and the reality of it all, that my story has the power to change someone else's story. You need to say that to yourself and understand that for yourself and let that sink in, that your story is a powerful story. What God's done in you is something that He hasn't done in anybody else. And you're like, wait a minute, how is that? It's because He did it in you, and you're not like anybody else. He created you special, every one of us. And when He does it in us, it's powerful, and it has the power then to be able to be used in a great, powerful way in others' lives. But what happens if I have a story and I don't tell anybody about it? Does anybody ever know my story? What if you write a book, right? If you write a book, but you never publish it and you put it in a drawer, does anybody ever get to know what that book was about? No, and that's what we do with the gospel. We accept it for ourselves. We come and we hear it. We hear some preacher get all excited about it and high-pitched and all that stuff and share with you and all those good things. And we get changed by it, and we accept it, and we say, oh, that's for me. But then it's like we put it inside of us, and we just hold on to it, and we never give it away. The gospel is never meant to just sit in one of us. It's meant to be given away. He didn't die for one. He died for all. And your story has the power for someone else to be able to hear it and understand it and be changed by it. God desires greatly to use your story and my story. So we got to be willing to tell it. That we should tell it to as many people as will listen. For all of us, there's that one or those few that desperately need to hear it around us. That need to respond. That we're the tool that God wants to use to share it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing if we'll do it. Romans 10, verse 13 and 15 says this. It's important that we understand that we must share. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I don't think that I need to explain everyone, do I? It's everyone. Everyone who believes and who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone, what? Tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Now, I know this is where you usually think that I'll begin to talk about my nasty, ugly feet. And I'm not going to. Okay, my wife told me to quit talking about my nasty, ugly feet. But I got nasty, ugly feet. But Jesus says, the Bible says, that if when I go and tell people about the gospel, that my feet are beautiful. I'm like, man, that's good news to me. Because I need it. How beautiful are the feet of those who go and share the good news. That means there's something special for us when we go and share. That means there's something really cool about the fact that we don't just keep the story to ourselves, but we go and we share it with others. Listen, you don't have to be some theological scholar. You don't have to have it all memorized. You just need to know that, you know what? I realized in my life that I was a sinner, that I was separated from God because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Listen, all I know is I was a sinner, and without Jesus, I was lost, and I was going to hell without Him. And now, because I trust Him and believe Him, and for what He did for me, that He died on the cross for me, I know that if I believe in Him and trust Him, that I'm going to heaven, and my sins are forgiven. Now, that's pretty basic theology. That's a very basic, but if you know that about yourself, that's what you need to be able to tell. Like, listen, all I know was I was blind, and now I see. That's all. Nobody can tell you that you can't see, because it's you. It's your story. It's happened to you. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of blind people. I know a lot of people that need to be able to see. But how can they see if I don't ever tell them? How in the world can we ever expect to change our community and to be a thriving, growing, if we're not willing to do that? And I think that's one of the pieces we've got to be able to do. And you know where that starts? You know who that starts with? No, it's not me. Y'all are thinking, the preacher? No. The preacher's got to go and tell people for himself. But you've got to go and tell people for yourself. You've got to accept it for yourself. I mean, if you've never accepted the truth that Jesus died for you and paid the price on a cross for your sin, and that He did that for you, that so that you can have an opportunity to confess your sin, be forgiven of it. If you've never acknowledged that for yourself and know that He was taken off of that cross and buried, and on the third day God raised Him again from the dead, so that now not only is sin conquered, that death is conquered too, that this doesn't have to be the best that you get, that this could be the worst that you get because heaven is going to be so much better. I mean, if you've never accepted that for yourself, then listen, today is the day that you can believe it and accept it. It's that simple. But if you have accepted it, then maybe today's the day that you got to decide to really live that out in your life. To allow the gospel to be what wakes you up in the morning and gets you going. The fact that Jesus has done that for you, that you're a new creation now, as the Bible says, that now you can get up in the morning with a purpose, that you can get up with knowing that somebody in your life today is going to be there to and needing to hear the word from what Jesus has done, and how you can share that, and you can be the piece that maybe changes their life for eternity. See, it all starts with you. It starts with your decisions. And it starts right now. Because here's the thing. Here's the hard part. Because see, once we hear it, we're responsible for it. So once we hear it, now we got to decide, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to accept it? Or am I going to reject it? Am I going to be changed by it? Or am I going to stay the same? Am I going to tell somebody? Or am I going to stay quiet? See, after today, we're all going to make a choice. Whether we've been a Christian for a little while, or for some of us a long while, we have to decide. And so our next step today is this. This is where you got to decide. I put the yes in the blank. You got to decide on your sheet what you put in there. But today the next step is yes. I will tell my story to whoever. Whoever. Whoever God tells you to tell. Some of you, boom, it popped in your head right there, and you know who you got to go tell. But if you're willing today to take that next step with me, then listen, I want you to be serious about it. I want us to be serious together about that. I want us to be encouraging to each other about that. And so today, I'm going to put this out there, and then you do with it what you want. We hardly, we leave the front open for anybody that feels like they need to come and pray or make decisions or just anything they need to do up here. But here's what we're going to do today. If you're willing to say yes, that you'll tell your story, then in a moment as the band plays, I want us to come up and I want us to stand here and I want us to sing together. And then I want us to pray together. And I want us to be here in unity together saying, you know what, yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm willing to go tell whoever. Yes, maybe I don't know who it is yet, God, but yes, I'm willing to tell whoever you send my way. We don't usually do this, but today I just feel like we need to do it. It wasn't even in my notes, wasn't even my plan. But God said today, you know what? I just need to know who's willing. If each one of us would go and tell a story this week, we'd see Albemarle a lot different. Stanley County would look a whole lot different with a few more people hearing the gospel and being changed by it. And so today, listen, if you come forward, that's awesome. If you don't, that's awesome too. You need to hear me. Don't feel bad if you choose not to come. But pray for the ones that are. That they'll be strengthened and they'll be encouraged and they'll be willing to do it. And maybe down the road, maybe you'll be willing to join, and that's great. So there's no pressure to that. But I just know today that, man, God's just asking us, are you serious about it? And so if you're willing to say yes, I'll share my story. Then in a moment when the band begins to play, just come forward and let's pray together. God, thank you for today. God, I'm so burdened by the fact that so many people need to hear a story that we all have and that we hold on to it so tightly as if we own it. As if there's some charge for it or some cost to it that we hold on to it and are not willing to give it away. But God, the gospel is free because you've already paid the price with your life. Your blood on a cross. And so today we come and we just stand and God, we want you to move freely in this place. We want you to be able to just strengthen us as we take a risk. God, it's not going to be easy for some of us to go and tell. But God, I believe you just want us to do that. And you've called us to a place as a church and as those that make up this church called URA Community Church, that it's just time to understand that we have a responsibility, that you've called us here to help people develop that love for you and that love for each other and a love for sharing the good news. God, that we need a passionate church, not a passive church. God, I pray that you'll help me. Help me this week to be able to tell each person that you send my way about you. Help me this week to be attentive to who it is around me and not just so focused on me. God, I pray that for each person here. God, do whatever you need to do in our lives today. May we surrender to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.